Hello, and welcome to this author interview for JAMA Evidence. This is Jim Michalski. Early accurate diagnosis of bladder outlet obstruction in men with lower urinary tract symptoms may reduce the need for invasive testing and prompt early treatment to provide symptomatic relief and avoid complications. Dr. Karen DeSova of the University of Toronto reviewed the evidence on the diagnostic accuracy of office-based tests for bladder outlet obstruction in men with lower urinary tract symptoms and also the accuracy of the bladder scanner as a measure of urine volume. Welcome, Dr. DeSova.
Thank you.
First of all, why did you choose to study this particular issue?
Well, I'm a geriatrician, and so myself and my co-author on this study, Dr. Camilla Wong, chose to look at this topic of men with lower urinary tract symptoms because it's a very common problem among our population and patients over 60 to 65. In fact, for male patients in the 81 to 90 year range, the prevalence of lower urinary tract symptoms approaches 90%. And often this is because of bladder outlet obstruction, although there are other reasons for it. And we wanted to be able to promote early diagnosis of BPH. And when I say BPH, I mean benign prostatic hypertrophy, which is a common cause of bladder outlet obstruction, because early diagnosis can avoid complications that are very troublesome for patients. And these complications include recurrent urinary tract infections, bladder stones, overflow urinary incontinence, hematuria, urinary retention, and kidney disease. And our particular question was actually to look at the diagnostic accuracy of office-based tests for bladder outlet obstruction in patients who present with lower urinary tract symptoms. And because the initial presentation of symptoms probably happen in the office of the non-specialist or the primary care practitioner, we thought it was very important to evaluate the diagnostic accuracy of the most commonly used screening methods for bladder outlet obstruction. And the data that we found was for mainly questionnaires and individual symptoms, the most common of which is the American Urologic Association Symptom Index, which is also known as the International Prostate Symptom Score, IPSS. And this basically is used by patients and clinicians to evaluate the intensity of symptoms due to benign prostatic hypertrophy, and it allows them to be able to grade how bothersome their symptoms are as well. So we wanted to look at how useful this type of a score and individual symptoms like this were in diagnosing bladder outlet obstruction.
Tell us about how your study was conducted.
So it was a systematic review. So we looked at various databases to obtain our initial abstracts. And so for the main objective, we looked at data sources including Medline, Embase, and the Cochrane Center Register of Controlled Trials. And we also then reviewed the reference list of these articles, and we spoke to experts in the fields to obtain unique citations. And there were over 8,600 individual citations that we reviewed to pull the abstracts, the initial abstracts. And for the secondary objective, we also looked at the similar databases as well as CINAHL, which is another type of health literature database. And after we reviewed the abstracts, we used our inclusion and exclusion criteria to then select the appropriate full texts, which were reviewed by two of the authors, myself and Camilla Wong. And if there was any discrepancy in whether the article would be appropriate, we then reviewed it with the third author, who is a urologist at the University of Florida, Dr. Philip Dam. And based on that, we were able to extract 10 studies for our primary objective and 20 studies for the secondary objective, which met all of our inclusion criteria.
And what were the main findings of your study?
So for our primary objective regarding the bladder outlet obstruction, with the 10 studies, there were a total of 1,262 patients among 9 unique cohorts. And essentially what we discovered was that among males with lower urinary tract symptoms, the likelihood ratios of individual symptoms and questionnaires for diagnosing bladder outlet obstruction, even from the highest quality studies using 95% confidence intervals, didn't show that there was a significant association with one another. So because the confidence intervals included one, it suggested that essentially the individual symptoms and questionnaires were not useful in diagnosing bladder outlet obstruction. Even with an IPSS score of 20 or greater, which increased the likelihood of bladder outlet obstruction, the likelihood ratio was fairly low at 1.5 with a confidence interval of 1.1 to 2. And scores of less than 18 essentially had a likelihood ratio that included 1, so again, was not statistically significant. Looking at other physical examination findings, we really didn't find any data to predict bladder outlet obstruction. From the perspective of the bladder scanner and how well it correlated with bladder catheterization urine volumes, we did find that the urine volumes were highly correlated both by using the bladder scanner as compared with the catheterized urine volume. So there was a very high correlation coefficient of about 0.93.
Dr. De Silva, in your opinion, how could these findings affect patients and clinicians?
I think for clinicians, it's important to recognize that for men who have lower urinary tract symptoms, the International Prostate Symptom Score can help to quantify symptoms that are experienced by the patient, as well as the amount of bother that it can cause in the patient's life. But it's also important to recognize that the findings of our study suggested that each symptom by itself and the IPSS total score don't have a good diagnostic accuracy for diagnosing bladder outlet obstruction. The second point for clinicians and patients is that we found that there's a high correlation between bladder catheterized volumes and bladder scanned volumes. So this means that the bladder scanner can be relied upon as a non-invasive method to determine whether a patient has substantial residual urine volumes. So that's sort of a useful point for clinicians and patients to take away.
Are there any next steps you would recommend on this issue?
Well, I mean, I think we don't have good studies and data to look at physical exam maneuvers such as the digital rectal exam or blood tests such as prostate-specific antigen measurement as diagnostic tools for bladder outlet obstruction, even though these are in the guidelines from urologic associations as part of the initial evaluation for males with lower urinary tract symptoms. We did not actually find good data to support their use in the diagnostic process. And I think further, stronger studies need to be done in this area in order to be able to know how to use them in the evaluation process for males with lower urinary tract symptoms.
Are there any other points you'd like to make?
One point to remember about this review is that the results, particularly for the diagnostic accuracy of bladder outlet obstruction, were limited because of the quality of the studies that we found. So overall, there was a small number of studies that actually met the inclusion criteria. There were only 10, and all the studies had small sample sizes. Most of the reviewed studies lacked a blinded, independent assessment of urodynamic studies. And generally, the studies had a high risk of bias related to their patient selection. And this was because they either lacked an independent comparison of signs and symptoms with a reference standard for patient selection, or they didn't clearly describe the patient populations, or they had too narrowly defined populations that would be difficult to generalize. And I think going back to the issue of the bladder scanner, a key point for clinicians, particularly primary care physicians, to take away is that a bladder scanner may be a very useful and low-cost instrument or tool for them to invest in for their office or clinic setting. And because we have found that the bladder scanner correlates very highly with the catheterized urine volume, physicians don't have to resort to the more invasive method, which does have some risks associated with it, of catheterization if they suspect patients are retaining larger urine volumes. Instead, they can simply use the bladder scanner to determine whether there is a large urine volume being retained post-void and then move on to further management when necessary.
Thank you for speaking with us about the clinical examination for bladder outlet obstruction. Once again, this is Jim Michalski with JAMA. For more podcasts on a wide array of topics, please visit the JAMA Evidence website at jamaevidence.com.